All right, take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, Mark chapter 4. We're going to try to get through the rest of the chapter tonight, and we're starting in verse 21. We left off in with verse 20 last week, and you remember Jesus was by the seaside, and he was telling some parables. And last week we talked about the parable of the soils, the different types of soil that the seed is planted in, and the gospel is planted in. And so we're going to pick up tonight again with verse 21. There's three more parables, and then we're going to talk about a little trip that the disciples took as they got into that boat that Jesus was in and took across the sea. So look at verse 21. I'm going to read verses 21 through 25 to get us started tonight. Here's what the Bible said. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Jesus talking about a candle, and he uses it again. He's telling a parable. He's trying to get across a heavenly truth by talking about something that's very familiar. People lit their houses back in this time with candles and lamps. But he said, you don't bring a candle and light it and put it under a bushel. I mean, you just don't do that. He didn't say it, but it's dumb. Why would you light a candle and put it under a bushel? The reason you light a candle is to give light. And if you put it under a bushel, it's not going to give any light. And he said, neither do you light a candle and put it under a bed. I mean, if you put the candle under the bed, and you know, I don't think they had beds on bedstands like we do today. I think they had, you know, like mats and cots they laid on the floor. If you put the candle under the bed, one of two things is going to happen. The candle's going to go out, or you're going to set the bed on fire. Now, you might have light if you set the bed on fire, but what's more likely is going to happen is if you try to put the candle underneath the bed, it's going to go out. And Jesus said, well, listen, you don't do that when you light a candle. You put it on a stand, on a candlestick, so that it will give light to the whole house. Now, I would just remind you that as Christians, we are God's candle, so to speak. He's the light of the world. We reflect him as we go out into this world, and our purpose is to become more like him and to share Jesus with others. I mean, Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. And then he says to his disciples, as he says to us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So what he's saying here is, you are my candlesticks. I don't light you so that you can put yourself under a bushel. I don't light you so that you can put yourself underneath the bed. That's not going to do anybody any good. What I want you to do is, as I light you, so to speak, and I know I'm trying to do the same thing that Jesus did. I'm using an analogy. I'm trying to just talk about us as candles. He said, I lit you so that you can be put on a candlestick, and so that you could share my light with the world. You could share my light with others, and share my truth with others. And then the next four verses, you might think, well, those next four verses talk about something else. He's talking about something being hid. It's going to be manifested and something kept secret that it should come abroad. They don't go. But I would submit that those verses all go together because Jesus is saying, I want you to go and share my truth. Now, I'm talking to you in parables now so that you can understand it and then, at the right time, go and share that with the world. Make it known. Spread it abroad. I mean, again, there were people in the crowd that was against Jesus and against his message. They just wanted him to shut up. And he would use these parables, again, to get the truth across to his disciples so that they could go and share it. And so he says, nothing hid, which shall not be manifested. Yeah, I'm sort of hiding the truth from some people as I tell you these parables, but the reason I'm doing it is to get you to understand it so that you can make it known. I'm sort of keeping it a secret as I tell these parables, but I want you to go and reveal it. I want you to share the truth. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. What he's saying is, I want you to listen to the truth. I want you to understand the truth so that you can go and share it. And then he says, take heed what ye hear. In other words, as I speak and as I share the secrets of the kingdom of God, listen. Listen. Because with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Jesus says, I'm going to share my truth with you. As you go out and share it with others, I'll give you more. And as you meet it to others, I will meet it to you. And the more you give it out, the more I will give to you. And it just excites me, John, about your testimony about the Bible. The more we read the truth, this is the truth. The more we read the truth, and then the more we share it, the more God will give to us. I was thinking about it. How many of you think Brother Leonard is a better Sunday school teacher now than he was a year ago? I do. Yeah, he does too. He's raising his hand. You know why? Because every week he studies hard, shares the truth, and God said, hey, there's a man that's doing what I want him to do. I'm going to give him more. I'm going to give him more. Now, some of Candy may not realize this because she's got to live with his wisdom every day, and it sort of sneaks up on her. But we see it. And it's the same thing. As you share, as you get into this truth and you teach your children and you teach your grandchildren this truth, God will give you more. Notice what it says in verse 25. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. Here's what God's saying. I'm going to give you the truth. If you don't use it, if you don't share it, I'm going to take it away from you. I'm going to take it away from you. In other words, if we don't stay in this book, and if we don't put into practice what we read in this book, that's one way of sharing the truth, letting it impact our life and change our life. God says, I not only will not give you more, I'll take away what you already have. Say, we're going to lose our salvation? No, we're not going to lose our salvation. But what I'm saying is, the understanding that we have of the Word of God now, if we don't use it, if we don't share it, he'll take that understanding away. And I guarantee you, we do not understand this book without the help of the Holy Spirit, the one that wrote it. And so he's saying, we're candles. We share our light, we are sharing truth. Don't put it under a bushel. Don't put it under a bed, because I'll take it away from you. Put it on a candlestick. Share it, because as you share it, I will give you more. As you mete it out, I'll mete it to you. And I don't know about you, if every time, I'll just put it in terms we can all understand. If every time I gave somebody a dollar, they gave me a dollar and a half back. And then if I started giving away $2 and got $3 back, and then I said, okay, I like this. This is good. I'm going to start giving away $5 bills and then get $10. I mean, if somebody made you that deal, we would be the most generous people in the world, right? I mean, we'd learn real quick that it works. That's the truth that Jesus is trying to get across in this parable. I'm going to give you truth. Now use it, share it, and I'll give you more. And then when you give that away, I'll give you more on top of that. And when you give that away, I'll give you more on top of that. That's a good deal. So we need to share the truth. All right, now look down at verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Jesus, again, is using a familiar story. He just told the parable of the different soils, the different types of ground that a seed is planted in. He said, the kingdom of God, I'm teaching you about the kingdom of God. I'm going to give you another example. It's like a man that sows seeds. And again, there's some seeds that, some crops that you have to hoe and weed and stuff like that. There's some crops you just throw the seed out and do just like this verse says. You go to sleep, you get up. You go to sleep, you get up. You go to sleep and get up. In other words, you just pass the days. You don't go out and do anything else to the soil. You don't go out and do anything else to the seed. You've cast it into the ground, and it begins to grow. And what it says in verse 27, he knoweth not how. Now, maybe Brother Clint can explain it, but I don't know that he can. I can't tell you why, when you put a seed into the ground, it grows. I don't know. I mean, you put a seed in the ground, and it says the earth bringeth forth the fruit of herself. First the little blade, and then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. I mean, I've gone by cornfields when it was first planted. I've gone by cornfields and saw them, you know, where it was just this high. I've gone by cornfields where the stalks were growing, but there weren't any ears on them yet. And then I've gone by cornfields where there was, you know, ears of corn on the stalk. I can't explain to you how that happens. Don't know. I knoweth not how. But it happens. It happens. Now, here's what Jesus is saying in this parable. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the gospel, however you want to say it. It's the truth of the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be the ones that scatter it. And it goes into the soil. Now, here's our problem. Many of us are, because we are sort of fast food Christians. You know, when you go to McDonald's, and I think I've mentioned this before. When I go to McDonald's and they say, hey, would you mind pulling up and waiting for your order? It just gets me so mad, because this is supposed to be fast food. Now, I don't want to pull up and wait. I want you to give me my food right now. And sometimes that's the way we are as Christians. We sow the seed and we want immediate results. We want people to get saved. We want people to grow up. And what Jesus is saying, that's not the way it works. You sow the seed, and something happens that you can't explain, that I can't explain. The seed, the word of God, goes into a person's life. And after a while, sometimes it happens the first time they hear it, but others, like me, I had to hear the gospel for a long time before it finally sprung up in my life. And it starts out as a little sprout, and then it turns into a stalk, and then it turns into a stalk full of corn. What Jesus is saying, the seed in the right time will produce fruit. And John, this was what I was talking about when I was talking about what the seed is, the Bible. I can't explain to you how it works. I can't explain to you that when I go and tell somebody about Jesus and take them down the Romans road, and that seed goes into their life and they get saved, I just sit back and wonder, man, I can't explain how it works. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You tell people that Jesus loves them and that he died for them and that, you know, if they'll ask him, he'll save them. It's not us. We're just the sowers. It's the seed. That's what's important. It's the seed where the mystery of life and the mystery of growth happens from. And so we need to be faithful in sowing that seed. Then look at verse 30. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Again, I'm teaching you about the kingdom of God. Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. Mustard seed, a very, very small seed. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Then he says, so here's a little seed, a little herb seed, a little mustard seed, one of the smallest seeds. And yet when that is planted, it grows up into almost a tree structure, a big tree, that the birds can make their nest in. And here again, he's saying, look, you plant the seed, you plant the gospel, you plant the truth of the word of God. And in fact, it was true in Jesus' day. Just a small group. Just a small group. And yet that small group, that seed will grow. Will grow into something that people can come and nest in. That people can come and base their lives on. That truth. And so what Jesus is doing is he's encouraging his disciples. He said, you know, I know we're a little group now. I know we don't have many people in our little band, but just wait. It's going to grow. I mean, in that day of Pentecost came, 5,000 people were saved. And in that day where Peter preached again and 4,000 people, or 5,000, 3,000 on Pentecost, 5,000 that next day, just two accounts in the book of Acts. And you go through the book of Acts and you read how that small seed, that small group that started out grew. And look at it today. Look at it today. So he said, don't get discouraged. You just be faithful in planting the seed. The seed is what's where the growth is. And it will grow beyond beyond anything that you can imagine. Verse 33, and with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Again, he was teaching them about the kingdom of God. Verse 35, and the same day, so this was a busy day. I mean, I think this was a long day. Again, he was by the seaside. The crowd thronged around him. He got into this boat. He taught. And so, in the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. I think Jesus was tired. Again, I think it was a long day for him. I think he was tired. I think he was wore out. You say, Son of God wore out? Yeah, he was a man. I think he got tired. I think he got wore out. And he said, hey, let's just get in this boat. Probably, again, may have been Peter's boat. And let's just go over to the other side of the lake. Let's just have a nice evening sail, so to speak. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. So when people saw Jesus get into this boat to set sail, there were other boats there as well that followed him. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. So they cast off, and a storm came up. And look at the words the Bible uses, a great storm of wind. And again, they were in a sailboat. A great storm of wind. When you're in a sailboat and a big windstorm comes up, you drop your sail, and you just sort of ride out the storm. And it says, And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And I can just see the disciples. I don't know if they had oars and they were rowing to try to get back to land, but I think they had their buckets out trying to get all this water out of the ship. I mean, can you imagine? The ship was about full of water. I mean, the waves were breaking over it and they were probably starting to sink. And look at verse 38. And he, Jesus, was in the hinder or the back part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Just think about it. In the middle of the storm, when the wind is blowing, so you know this boat's got to be rocking. I mean, it's not a sea of glass. It's a storm, and so the boat is rocking. Here comes these waves breaking over the sides of the ship, so much so that it began to sink. Here's the disciples. I don't know if they had long poles and they were pulling. I don't know if they had oars and they were rowing. I know they had buckets because they were trying to keep the boat. And they said, where's Jesus? Peter, where's Jesus? Andrew, go find, where's Jesus? And he's back at the back of the ship. He's got a pillow and he's asleep. Now, what would you think? I try to imagine what I would do. I think they had a little meeting. Peter, do you think we should wake him up? What do you think? I mean, should we let him sleep? What are we going to do? I don't know if they took a vote. They went back and they said, Master, hey, we're in trouble. We're in this storm. You know, the wind is blowing, the waves are beating into the ship, and we're about to sink. And they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? By the way, in the storms of this world, Jesus is never afraid or worried about them. And when if he's in the same ship that we are, neither should we be afraid, because he's going to take care of us. And I know sometimes, I mean, this does a pretty good picture, sometimes the circumstances that mount up in our life, and it just feels like we're in this storm. And I don't know how many of you have ever experienced seasickness. I think I told you, I went fishing, my only time deep sea fishing. We were down in Florida, and it was back in the days where you could do things with suppliers. And this guy that was working for this supplier used to work for us, so he was a personal friend. He said, hey, come down for a meeting on Friday. We're going to take you deep sea fishing on Saturday. So, yeah, that sounds good. So we went out, and the ocean was just like a sheet of glass. I mean, no waves, nothing. So we got out, I don't know, about 3 or 4 miles from the shore, and just little waves like this. I got seasick. And there ain't nothing worse than being seasick, because there ain't nothing you can do. I mean, you're just, and you know what you do, but and you, there's nothing you can do to stop it. You just get sick. Just get sick. So here were these disciples. They said, Master, don't you care? We're about to drown. The ship's about to sink. Don't you care? And he arose, verse 39, and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I mean, it went from a great storm to a great calm. Now just think about that. A great storm where the wind was blowing and the waves were high, the ship was about to sink, and Jesus got up and just said, hey, wind, just calm down. Hey, sea, just calm down. Just be still. Just be still. And there came a great calm. And he said unto his disciples, why are you so fearful? Why are you so afraid? How is it that ye have no faith? And I would tell you, I think sometimes Jesus wants to ask us that same question. When we get into the storms of life, when it looks like our boat is about to sink because the circumstances of life are coming in and it just looks like it's going to push us under, he says, what are you so afraid about? I'm in charge of everything. I can control the wind, and I can control the sea, and don't you know I can control the circumstances in your life? And don't you know I'm going to take care of you? What are you so worried about? What are you so afraid about? Where's your faith? I can take care of you. Verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? You see, his disciples were still finding out not only what kind of man this was, but what kind of God he was. Because as somebody mentioned, I can't remember if it was in one of the prayers or in one of the testimonies, he controls everything. Ain't no surprises to God. No surprises. And there's nothing that gets out of control that he can't fix, that he can't calm. And so again, leave tonight with, I guess if I was going to leave you with one thought to take home tonight, it would be that thought in verse 40. Why are we so fearful? Where's our faith? We got a God that's in charge of everything. And you know what? He loves us. He loves us. And he's going to take care of us. Anybody have a question?